This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is a historic moment that is taking place that CBS alluded to. The president, soon to be president, Joe Biden, giving some emotional remarks in Delaware, departing for the nation's capital. We spent some time in the first hour talking about what the new administration needs to show for people to buy in the effectiveness, the efficiency, that this works. If you want to listen to that, you got a couple options. Hit the rewind feature if you have radio.com. You should. Costs you nothing. Once you have it, you can hit rewind and go back 24 hours and listen to our show, Corey's show, Dave's show, anything. Weekends applies too when it's within that 24-hour window. Also, you can podcast this anytime, wccradio.com/chat. We'll get back to politics next hour. I want to talk golf, but it has very, very little to do with actually playing golf. Two items that have happened fairly recently, and we have not had a chance to completely follow up.
My golf game.
How is your golf game? Do you have big plans this year?
If you're talking golf without actually talking about the game of golf, you're talking about my golf game.
I've seen it.
I don't know what that is.
I have seen it.
It ain't golf.
Let me just say, if you play in front of Adam, just stand left side of the fairway, left rough, anywhere. You're as safe as can be.
You're fine.
I mean, it is a old school term. It's a big banana coming off that golf club for Matt. Starts kind of just left side of the fairway and just sometimes it lightly just drips to the right.
Yeah, I know.
And other times it looks like Adam running away from the authorities in St. Peter as it's just ferociously peeling to the right.
There's a fine line between a power fade and a slice.
Yeah, not really. Okay, the Tiger doc, we had Armin Katangan on leading up to it. We talked about the first one. Both are now done. Adam had watched the first one. I want to get up to speed on the second one. Dan revealed during Ask Adam Anything, he's unwilling to knock on neighbors' doors and sit on their floor. He doesn't want to sit on the furniture, so he doesn't have HBO. Did not watch either. Adam, before I chime in, did you watch the second part?
I watched the second, and we've got Wi-Fi issues where we're staying. And again, first one, it took me four nights to get through just because it kept freezing up. Finally made it through. Second one, I made it almost all the way. There was like 10 minutes left, and it froze up on me. He was just embarking on the 2019 Masters. Don't tell me how that tournament ended so I can watch the rest.
Honestly, the amount of time we agree is nauseating because a friend of mine was at about the same part, and I said to him, hey, I just want to let spoil it for you. He wins the match. You know?
Thanks a lot.
So it finishes with a flourish. It finishes upbeat. It finishes very positive. Among the texting threads I'm in, la-di-da, there's six of us, I believe. Five of them are just better individuals than me, probably. And they're down on it because they wanted more positive Tiger. And my comeback has been no one in sports history has been treated in a more glowing way by the media, which covers him than Tiger Woods. No one. And also, Tiger, Mark Steinberg, and others will flat out verbally or with the force of Tiger Woods Inc. intimidate individuals who take Tiger on. So my point is, his amazing success as a golfer, I, as a person who's addicted to golf, I am elated that I was around to witness his brilliance. His tens of millions of dollars that he's raised for foundations and many other things in life that he's been on the side of good, I think those have been covered extensively and endlessly. If you really follow golf closely, you know most of what was portrayed in these two docs. But as we've talked before, it's not just a doc for the hardcores, and it's not just a doc for people who have no idea. I think they pulled it off very, very well. The obsessive and controlling relationship of Tita and Earl with Tiger. And we've heard it before, but to see the new revelations, including a couple of the stars, the high school girlfriend, she was great. Talking about how she saw Tiger when he could be normal, when he wasn't obsessed with hitting balls 20 hours a day and wasn't facing the training that Tita and Earl provided, where he could go to her house and dance awkwardly and smile and have fun, and how eventually she received a letter from Tiger that the family, not just Tiger, the family decided she wasn't good for Tiger. Steve Williams also was great. I'm not a big fan of Steve Williams as a person, but his revealing of how difficult it was for Tiger to live his life, how suffocated, how oppressive, how fixated he was on not being great, being the greatest, and never, ever stopped. It did a lot on the fall. And some have said, why do we need that dragged up again? Why do we need to give a play to the National Enquirer? He had this angelic image that was crafted every single day. And a part of his life, that doesn't mean he's awful in every way as a human. Not at all. But let me just be blunt. He was a slut. Because women receive that term all the time, and it's so sexist and slut. And certain these women who slept with him, and I'm not calling them heroes, but the one who had this was Tiger. And again, I think sex addiction is real. I do. I can't accept it with Tiger because, as I've said so many times, funny, his addiction treatment ended the week before Augusta. I've heard, we've interviewed people on the power of sex addiction. I just don't accept that all of a sudden his treatment worked out so conveniently that he could play, by the way, almost win the 2010. So,
but was,
to understand more about him, Adam, I found it very, very compelling.
As did I. But on that point, though, I'm going to push back on you a little bit. I mean,
sure.
Because he left sex addiction treatment to play in the Masters, that doesn't necessarily mean that the people he was working with thought he was cured or doesn't actually have an issue. See, I was with you on that. Before, maybe, you know, in the past, saying, oh, come on. I mean, that's an excuse. But the more I know now about, that was, for me, the eye-opening part of the documentary was the relationship, Earl's actions, and that family dynamic that I could be wrong. And plus, to learn about, as they pointed out in the documentary, you know, these weren't one-night stands where both Tiger and whomever he was with knew what they were in for.
Yeah,
these women fell in love with him because he. Yeah. It was more than just sex. It was more. It was he was building relationships with these people, and they felt devastated when he would move on. So that's where I would. That was the eye opening part for me in the documentary. when you mentioned, you know, there's certain people, you know, there's golf fanatics would want to take something away as opposed to people who really don't know that much about Tiger. I think the documentary leans heavily towards that latter group because I wanted to a little bit more on the golf side about the swing changes, the coaching changes yep. that I'm sure Earl had played a role in, right?
Yep, sure.
And that I kind of wanted more in that area, especially, you know, when he starts doing the SEAL training and stuff like that. And
yeah.
But no, it
how
was.
How he ruined
yeah.
his career.
Yes.
Anyways. You know, Brandel Chamblee has made this point that you can say Tiger is the most talented golfer ever, and I agree with that. And he can also say he's the biggest underachiever because if he stays with a version of that swing he had from middle of 99 to 2002 until Haney changed it, he's got 50 now. I honestly think, I'm not exaggerating, he would have 30 at this point. His comeback is his knee wouldn't allow him to do that. There are so many people I trust in golf who said it was, again, his power, his control. And he hated that Butch was getting all this credit. Drove him nuts. And he also truly did believe he could be better with somebody else. And then he believed he could be better with somebody else. To me, I get it. I think the golf swing stuff is a little too inner. Because there yeah. were numerous golf highlights for me as obsessed was. I knew they took them out of context. Like some of the 2019 was out of context. Other events, the highlights just were used to add to it.
Sure.
On the sex addiction, where I would push back is if it was a sex addiction, it would just be sex. It would just be one night stand after one night stand. I think he so missed normal relationships that Tita and Earl would not allow him to have that he had a few others until he met and married Elin mm-hmm. that he wanted to talk yeah. and hang out. Yes, and sex had to be a part of it. But it wasn't just 75 women in 75 nights.
Right.
And that's the dilemma I have. So, I mean, Dan, if documentaries can cause conversations like this, and Armik Tatane's a great journalist. Alex Gibney's track record with documentaries is on par, pun intended, with everyone. And that's why, again, you don't, documentaries about sports figures work. In particular, they can be just diehard sports ones. But in particular, Dan, they work if you can bring a lot of people into it. And I just thought this doc did that.
Yeah, that's the key, right? I mean, it isn't even that you have to have some stunning new revelation about someone. It's that you have to offer a perspective that people either hadn't considered before or didn't consider on a regular basis. It causes you to think about a person maybe in a slightly different or newer way. And that may not change your overall opinion of that individual, but it gives you at least some different perspective and, like you said, generates conversation.
Justin Thomas. We talked about his slur. We have not talked about what happened over the weekend with Polo, Ralph Lauren, dropping him. Let's have that conversation when we come back on the business. It's not just athletes. It can be other famous individuals judged at what may be their worst public moment, how business reacts to that, how it's magnified because of social media, and are we going to see more of this? Don't forget Jamie in about 15 minutes. Give us a follow on Twitter at Chad Hartman Show, at AC830, at Dan Cook. Follow the station at WCCO Radio. Justin Thomas is one of the five best golfers on the planet. And until the last couple weeks, he had a pristine image. Seems likable. Makes himself available for interviews. Even was the golf analyst for one of the matches with Tiger and Phil. I think that was the one with the quarterbacks. Jumps into important golf topics. Is one of Tiger's guys in Florida. And his image was very good. Misses a putt in Hawaii. And as he walks by the cup with a mic in the cup, uses the worst gay slur. Profusely and then it's up to all of us to decide, right? Seemingly to me genuine, I could be 100% wrong, right? We're making these value judgments. But he didn't duck from it, and he talked about it after, because it happened the Saturday round. He talked about it also after the Sunday round. And it was quiet for a few days, and then late last week, I think it was late Friday night, right, where Ralph Lauren, who Thomas has been a part of for a long time, and he's a part of the large part of their golf campaign, said, we're done with you, that these comments are unacceptable. And they acknowledge his apology, but said, not enough. I'm one of, what, millions who've said, you don't want to be judged at your worst point, but guess what, at times we are. Ralph Lauren can make any decision they want. They're a private business. This isn't cancel culture, right? There's no doubt, Adam and Dan, companies have to be more aware of this because of how stories can stay alive through social media, through other platforms. I don't know if they were getting a lot of pressure. I find the word horrific. I've said for a long time, gay jokes, homosexual jokes, are still in a weird spot in our society. I'm not talking comedy. I'm not talking comedians. But in other conversations where people will say things with a homosexual insult or joke that they wouldn't in other ways, and it's awful. And I'm not just talking with buddies. Talking publicly. So this is another one where I'm conflicted, because I hate the word. I hate how people still think this is okay. I'm also wary of people can screw up. We fail a lot in life. Then there's degrees to how far we fail. And I've seen plenty of good journalism on this saying maybe the best would have been for Ralph Lauren and Justin Thomas to work together. Well, then that comeback could have been, Adam, well, it's just calculated, because they're just trying to do this. So I think it's a defendable move by Ralph Lauren. They have to decide how they personally feel, how their customers might feel. But I guess I was a little caught off guard because it took a few days before it happened. And I do think, because of social media, there's good and bad about this, that we cite things that are repugnant. We point it out. We also at times don't let anybody screw up ever. And try to honestly say, I can't believe I did that. Now, for me, Adam, do I think this word came out of his mouth in a golf tournament and it hasn't before and that's the first time it did? No, I don't. I think sometimes that's pretty telling. So I'm not going to rip Ralph Lauren for making a business decision, just like I'm not ripping others when they make decisions that I don't agree with. But as you watch this play out, what did you think? Then, Dan, you jump in.
I'm not surprised at all. And I guess the timing of it doesn't really surprise me either, that it maybe had been delayed. Here's why. Like you mentioned, Ralph Lauren is a private business, and plenty of their customers, I'm sure, are homosexuals. Yep. And that's their business decision to separate with this golfer. This Justin Thomas, it's not like he will no longer be able to play golf. He's still going to be a golfer. He probably will have other sponsors down the road. So I have no problem at all with this. Even if it's just a mistake, a horrible mistake, you say that word, as awful as it is. Again, like you, I find it hard to believe that suddenly that's just the word that comes out of your mouth and that it's never been bounced around before. But that's also that you can attribute that to the culture, specifically the male culture of, using those kind of terms to mm-hmm. belittle someone, saying you're yes. less than a man by using mm-hmm. that kind of words. And I'll be the first to admit that I've used those words in my history, too, in those same kinds of ways. And as a person, I've tried to overcome that and become a better person, as I think anybody who uses that kind of language should do. But still, there are consequences for doing things like that. If I say that word right now, or if I say another word that is very offensive on the radio, I fully expect to be punished, up to being terminated. So that's the consequences of even a mistake.
Dan, so far, no, the traditional golf sponsors, unless I've totally missed it, have not dropped him. He's very prominent with Titleist. Titleist can look at this from a completely different, you know, calculus, right, on the golf side of it. Adam makes another good point. There, you know, you have to look at it from your business. You have to look at it. I mean, golf is a small, small part of Ralph Lauren. His initial apologies seem genuine. Maybe he should have continued. I don't think he said anything since. I'm sure all this has been jarring for him, a further examination. But as you watch all this play out, what do you think?
I think, you know, there's so much of this that is a matter of privilege, right? I mean, it's a privilege to play golf professionally. It's a privilege to have folks want to sponsor you in that endeavor. And that privilege can be revoked at any time. You know, he's not owed that particular opportunity. And as you guys have said, I'd go even a step further and say, you know, it's not a matter of having a hard time believing that this was in his heart or it had been said prior to this. I can virtually guarantee it. That word doesn't come out of your mouth accidentally. Yep. It doesn't come out of your mouth just the one time. I mean, come on. It's absurd. And so if Ralph Lauren does the math and says, you know, we didn't initiate this, we had nothing to do with this, and we don't want anything to do with this, we don't want to be catching heat because of what this guy said, they have every right in the world to pull that sponsorship and to do so very publicly. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't partner with him again down the road. You know, I say all the time that repentance isn't just about saying you're sorry. Saying you're sorry is good. That he made a good first step. But that word, it literally, if you go back to the original language, includes a physical turning, right? It's a return to this path. And it's this idea of it's about what you do. And so what he does going forward publicly as he used that term, is going to determine whether companies decide, whether Ralph Lauren or any other company decides, okay, we can do business with this guy again. He's done what he needed to do. And so I have, again, zero problem with what Ralph Lauren's doing. And it's not like there isn't a future for this kid. He's got to have plenty of opportunities to not only repair this mistake, but to be better for it. And Ralph Lauren bailing on him in this case doesn't prevent that at all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.